Well, hello out there. It's great to be here. Actually, it's great to be anywhere. Well, I guess that I think I'm really funny. I laugh at my own jokes. Well, thank God I married a lady who laughs at my jokes, no matter how badly I she laughs. Wow. You know, they say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I don't think so. I think the way to a man's heart is laughing at his jokes. Well, greetings. Hello, Sarah, and I love you all. And we're here, and we're going to talk about I am. I am. So let's kind of ease into it. There's such big words, let's kind of ease into it, okay? So let's do something we haven't done for a while. Let's get your Bible, open your Bible, open your cell phone or something. Yeah. So I want you to open to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So I'm not exactly sure where we're going with this. I'm not exactly sure whether this is that we're going someplace soon, but we are here together in this, and we'll see what the Holy Spirit does. So, Ephesians chapter 4, and I want us to look, let's start in verse 11. And Jesus gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And it's, I mean, I've heard discussion whether the some means he gave to some prophets or whether he gave some prophets. I'm not exactly sure it makes a difference. Everything that's available to one believer is available to all. So even if he only gave some prophets to some, it's still available to all. And no matter how many prophets you give, they all certainly fall in the word called some. So any. So I'm not exactly sure it makes a difference. Doesn't to me anyway. So he gave them all, and the question is why? Why did he do this? For the perfecting of the saints. Okay, that's a good start. That's not all, but for the perfecting of the saints. Now, I know there are many, many denominations that teach that these offices passed away, that when Jesus's last apostle died, that was the end of the scripture. Well, I don't think so, because they were given for the perfecting of the saints. And I don't know anybody who thinks that the saints are perfected today. Now, you could say that each saint, each believer is a saint, okay? And the believer is a spirit, and the spirit has been perfected. That's true. The day we accepted Jesus as Savior and called Him Lord, our spirits were born again into the family of God, and our spirits were perfect, free from sin, and God let came to live in us. Now, because it was free from sin, it was perfect in terms of being in right standing with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, in Christ Jesus, our spirit man, the inner man, you and me, the real us, are perfect in that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're in right standing with God. We have no sins. That is a form of perfection. Does that mean that the spirit man can't grow? I don't know the answer to that. I would think so, but I don't know. I can't think of any scriptures that say the spirit man never changes or that the spirit man has to grow. Because once that's born again, the focus has been on the heart and the rest of our being. As we, all of us here at ABC, who has not been asleep for the last 5 years, should know by now that this born again experience is not an end in itself. It is the beginning of a new journey with God. Why would anybody think that, you know, we live however years people live, 20 years, 120 years, you live some small number of years, you get born again, and suddenly you've achieved what God wants you to achieve for all eternity. Wow. I mean, none of us just fell off a turnip truck. I mean, that does common sense. That doesn't make sense. Why would we ever want to believe that? Of course, it doesn't jive with the scriptures. Being born again, being saved, is the beginning of a journey that we're going for eternity with God. But there is a particular goal that God has in mind. It's called redemption, the fullness of redemption. It's when the body has been fully redeemed. When the body has come to a full redemption. And what would that mean? Well, think about the way we got started. God gave Adam a body. That body was so full of the glory of God, he did not need clothes. He wouldn't get cold, wouldn't get hot. It was a body, a glorified body, if you will, at the beginning level. But then God proceeded to teach him. Walk with him every day, teaching him. Because he had a destination. And the destination was that that body would become like the glorified body that Jesus got when Jesus was raised from the dead. Was raised from the dead, went up to heaven, poured his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Everything on earth is a reflection of something. Everything good on earth is a reflection of something in heaven. And after he poured his blood on the mercy seat, somewhere along the line, he received a glorified body. Fully glorified body. Can't die, can't sin. Can walk through walls. You know, whatever you think that's supernatural, that's good. Jesus in his glorified body can do it. So, redemption of the body is achieving that glorified body. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 says, I'll tell you a mystery, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkle of an eye. Goes on to talk about corruptible flesh can't inherit incorruptible things. So we're going to be changed. We'll be given an incorruptible body. That's another name of talking about a glorified body. Scripture said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus took all our sins. So we are no longer short of the glory of God. God has us on earth as his containers of glory. We are filled with his glory to the extent that we allow it, that we can go around and pass on his glory. Show people a bit of what heaven is like here on earth by the glory flowing out of you. That's what he wants. Now, once you're born again, you start this journey whereby the righteousness that's in you should flow out into your members as holiness. That we not serve sin with our members, but we serve God in righteousness with holy members. Romans chapter 6, two different places. And as we go through that process, the perfection in our spirit flows out to the rest of us. As we go through that process of living for Jesus, of living with Christ in our heart, of living with the engrafted word in our heart, with love in our heart, all that parts our heart, our spiritual heart, so the glory of God in us flows through our heart out into the rest of our body. That's why the scripture says, basically, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2. You don't have to chase the blessings. The blessings have been commanded to chase you down. The blessings have been commanded to chase you down. if you chase God, if you chase God by being obedient to God, doing what the Bible says to do, and not doing what it says to not do. As we do that, the blessings chase us down. The blessings chase us down because the glory of God in us flows out to change the rest of our being. It flows out first through our tongue, our mouth. And our mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the tongue guides the soul, and the soul prospers. And 3 John 2 says, as your soul prospers, so will your body, and so will your circumstances, your finances. You see, it's coming from the inside out. Coming from the inside out. That salvation, starting with being born again, is working out through all your being, so each part gets saved. Better word is each part becomes redeemed, bought back from the price. The price is Jesus' body and blood. And as it flows out, that perfection goes out through the whole you. How is that said in the scriptures? In different ways, but one that comes to mind is Hebrews. That says, by one sacrifice, Jesus has perfected them that are sanctified. See, we've been perfected because Jesus only died and was raised from the dead once. By one sacrifice, we've been perfected. But that process of sanctification is what I just described. As the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, we become more sanctified until our entire being moves towards that perfection. We can't do it, but we can want it, and we can allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Like we couldn't get ourselves born again, but we could want it, and by faith we could accept it and say the words. Exactly the same process. We can't do it, but we could want a fully glorified body. We could want to draw closer to God. We could want to have our hearts filled with love. We could want to speak nothing but the Word of God. We could want that glory in us to flow out and change every part of our being. And as we want that, as we're led by the Spirit of God, we move into that perfection that was purchased for us by one sacrifice. So, the church hasn't got there yet, so I believe that we still have these ministries. Prophets, evangelists, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, I started out when I got saved as an evangelist. All I knew was God was real, Holy Spirit is real, Jesus is real, the Word of God is real. If I do what it says, I get miracles, signs, and wonders. And I went out to show people, hey, God is real. Got a lot of people saved. Got a lot of miracles. And after doing that for a number of years, I started to realize all these people got saved, and the churches they were going to weren't teaching them how to walk in victory. So I started teaching. Eventually, I went from being an evangelist to a teacher, and I started teaching, out of which grew the original plan for ABC, which were multiple churches in multiple locations, multiple home churches. God told us from the beginning to be a home church. Why? Because my wife and I believe the Bible says the church started in the home, and the church is going to end in the home. It's one reason. Now the reason is, we don't really go out soliciting to bring people into here. We don't advertise. There have been times when we had so many people that we had to raise the level of the teaching so that some would leave. We just cranked up the fire of the teaching, some would leave. If we had been a public church where anybody can walk in, and we're very visible, we would have been overwhelmed with people coming to us for healing. As it is, trying to stay unknown, we have been overwhelmed many times. I've been overwhelmed many times over this pandemic. I have worked so hard, slept so little, that over this pandemic, I lost 25 pounds. Not sick, just some lack of sleep, too much work, not enough time to eat. 25 pounds. I didn't have the 25 pounds to lose. And that's with us being trying to be unknown. What would have happened? I mean, currently today, we've got people who've been healed by ministers in many, many countries of the world. I don't know how many countries, but I do know we have people in 16 countries that are paying attention to ABC, either watching the services, getting the handouts, and or teaching it. I know that we have been a significant influence in many countries by influencing ministries that are operating there. Some pretty amazing things that we can't even talk about, because people's lives would be in danger if we were to talk about it. So, I think we've made an influence on multiple continents. I'd have to count them, probably 5 continents. We have made an impact trying to be unknown. So eventually, I found out that just teaching was not enough. People need pastors. And so I moved from being a teacher to being a pastor, which is how most of you know me, as a pastor. And that's been a lot of work. I've worked hard my entire life, which is part of what I'm teaching tonight, by the way. Worked hard of my life, always looking ahead. That's a bad way to live, always looking ahead. It's called impatience. Took me just about all my life to learn that. All my life short minus 2 days. Which is probably why I'm teaching here tonight. Yes, looking ahead is impatience, and we'll get around to that, so don't be impatient. So, I end up being a pastor. And it's been a long 25 years, and it's been an awesome 25 years. Now, I have never functioned solely in the office of a prophet, but I do function in the office of a prophet, but not solely in the office of a prophet. Anybody can prophesy, but the office of a prophet is different. There's a special anointing in it, and the office of a prophet is more geared towards guiding and leading the church rather than individuals. That's not to say prophets don't minister to individuals, but their function is more guiding the church. So, ABC has been very blessed by God. We have been small. We have wanted to be small. And as I said, there are many reasons why we are a home church, not the least of which is, as churches become more and more targeted, more and more thought, effort, money, and faith has to be spent for the protection of the church. And the more visible they are, the more they need to do that. I'm just really saddened by the fact that so many churches in this country today have armed guards on the church, or members of the staff are walking around with guns under their coats for protection. I'm so saddened that the world has come to a state where that needs to be done. But I'm even more saddened that the solution to a spiritual problem is a carnal solution. They're coming with guns, so let's have guns. Scripture says if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. That's a very serious scripture. Because if you die by anything, you won't be raptured. And the main purpose for the last 6,000 years is to be alive and raptured. I'm only here on earth to teach God's people who are willing to learn how to be alive and raptured. If it had been up to me alone, if it had been my decision, I'd have gone home to be with the Lord in 1996. I was planning to do that, and it's a very wonderful story, but I've told it many times. I'm not going to take the time to tell it here. But God changed my mind and gave me a calling in 1996 to teach his people how to be alive and remain, to teach his people how to cross the river of death. We have a teaching called Crossing the Rivers. It's the foreshadowing of the Hebrews coming out of the bondage of slavery, the bondage of Egypt, and making their way to the promised land and crossing the river Jordan into the promised land. And as you recall, of the 3 million adults who left Egypt, only 2 crossed the river Jordan. Of the billions of Christians on earth today, how many are going to cross the river of death to be alive and be raptured? And people might say, well, if they're alive and they're raptured, they will have crossed the river of death. That's a true statement. But that's not the right attitude. The right attitude is this, that you understand from the scriptures that Jesus took your sins, and if he took your sins, and since he took your sins, then he took the wages of sins, which includes death. So he took death. We know he took death because he died, and he went to hell. Jesus took your sins so you don't have it. He took the wages of sin, including deaths, so you don't have to die. And he went to hell, so you don't have to go to hell. All three things are, he took it so you don't have to. No, you can if you want to. You don't have to, but you can. If you want to sin, you can sin. If you want to have the wages of sin, you can have them. Sickness, disease, infirmity. If you want to die, you can die. If you want to go to hell, oh, you still can. Anybody. Well, that's not exactly true. Anybody who meets the 5 conditions in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, conditions in 4 and 4, anybody who meets the conditions can give up their salvation. But why would you want to do that? Why would you want to give up your salvation? Why would you want to go to hell? Why would you want to die? Those are pretty clear that most people don't want them. So then why would you want the wages of sin? I don't think people want the wages of sin. But the wages of sin are tied with the sin. No, why would people sin? Because they like it. One reason, they like it. Another reason is, they don't know they're sinning. That's probably the biggest reason. Which is why it's so important to wash yourself with the water of the Word. 2, read the Word diligently, ongoingly, every day, and as you read it, use it as a measuring stick against yourself. What is this word saying that I should do that I'm not? And then you start doing it. What is the word saying I shouldn't do? And I am doing it. Then stop. Make a decision in your heart. I don't want to sin again. You cannot stop sinning by yourself. But if you desire it in your heart and you ask the Holy Spirit, He will lead you and guide you to where you can stop sinning. Just as you couldn't save yourself. It's exactly the same process all the way along. You with the desire, you with the obedience, you do your part and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. He got you born again. He can get you to stop sinning. He can get you not to die, and He can get you not to go to hell. As you move through this process from being born again towards the fullness of salvation, you're sealed with the Spirit of God unto the day of your redemption. The seal of the Holy Spirit is unto the day of your redemption. That redemption is the day that you are raptured. And it's not a true statement that all believers are going to be raptured. It is a true statement that all believers have a salvation package which includes being raptured. It belongs to you, just like healing does, just as not dying does, just as not going to hell does, but just because it belongs to you, just as not sinning does. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. Let sin not have dominion over you. For you're saved by grace. And you're under grace. So they all belong to you. But they all are promises of God within your salvation package. And they are manifested in your life as you choose to partner with God. You must partner with God to be saved. Grace is God's part. Receiving by faith is your part. Every step along the way, God does His part. Revelation 12:11. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You overcome sin by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. What's the word of your testimony? I am saved. I am the righteousness of God. I am not a sinner. I am an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, and I choose not to sin. It all comes about by you seeing yourself as I am. I am this and I am that. I am everything good that God wants me to be. I am everything that Jesus purchased for me. I am everything the Bible says I am. I am one who has access to every promise of God. I am one who speaks to mountains and they move. It's all about how you see yourself. What is the I am you see yourself at? And so this process of moving from being born again until the day of the rapture, the day of you getting your glorified body as you change, this entire process is a question of choice and a question of filtering. It's a question of you seeing yourself the way God sees you. God sees you through the blood of Jesus. So He sees you already as perfected. He sees you already as a super conqueror. He sees you already as one who can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens you. Now, I've said a lot, and for those of you who may be new, I can refer you to some websites. The Rapture Made Plain talks about the fact that the rapture is and must be post-tribulation. 100% of the people who've heard that teaching, 100% of the people who've gone into that website, rapturemadeplain.org, were pre-tribulation believers. 100% coming out were post-tribulation believers. That's the first part of the website. The second part is crossing the rivers, and we'll give you a lot more detail about living and not dying. Oh, there's also a website called livingandnotdyingmadeplain.org. So, I point you to these websites if you're new to some of these concepts, because it's vitally important that people understand that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. God has done his part. Jesus has done his part. It's up to you and me to do our part. And in doing our part, we need the fivefold ministry to point us in the right ways. We've been blessed here to be a small church of people who are on fire for God. That's what we wanted. That's what we got. Now, of course, we have the internet church, which makes us much larger, and they're also on fire for God. In fact, in probably most cases, let me just say this. The internet church people are really serious people, because they have looked around and they have not been able to find a church in their city, in their neighborhood, that teaches what we teach here. So they have joined us online. Some of them have never met us, but they're faithful ABCers. But once upon a time, a few years ago, we had about 45 people present locally. And I decided to do a study of how many Christian degrees, if you will, were present. How many Christian places of learning were represented by these 45 people. Not secular degrees, just representation from Christian Bible schools, Bible colleges, Christian universities, seminaries. That's what we were looking at. And we found we had 15 that day, 15 represented. 15 represented with 45 people. That's a pretty powerful percentage. I wonder how many churches in the world has a higher than 30% representation of Christian seminaries, universities, and colleges represented. So, ABCers know this stuff because they love God and they have studied it. And out of this small group we have locally, we have teachers. One man who is very well educated and many degrees and to many Christian conventions, etc., said he's never seen a finer bunch of teachers than the teachers here. The teachers and staff are really great teachers. They are really great teachers. I wish I could teach like them. I truly mean that. They are really good. Some of them are so natural. I mean, it's just absolutely awesome how good these teachers are. So we have teachers here. We have pastors. We have multiple pastors. We have evangelists. Some people in more than one office. We have prophets. And we have one prophet, as far as I know. The one prophet is a person with a calling from God to open up new geographical territories and or open up new areas of revelation. When God called me in 1996, December to January, 97 January, to go tell his people how to cross the river of death and to be alive and remain when Jesus returned, I knew nothing about how to do that. I'd read the book of Revelation a couple of times. I didn't really go to it because I had no understanding of it. It seemed pretty scary and made no sense to me. And from that time until today, we have produced 8.5 years of schools. We currently have about 15, 16 websites, around 7 public ones. 7 public websites. What do the 7 public websites have in common? What they have in common is, as far as we know, there is no other church publicly teaching what we have on those websites. They are, to our knowledge, unique. Because God always has a remnant, we are sure there are other churches teaching it, small churches like us. But to have websites out there that are finally ready for the public, it's unique. Each and every one of those websites is unique, including one called salvationmadeplain.org. You think salvation, everybody knows about salvation. The point of fact is most people don't know anything about salvation. Most people, in my experience and what I read is, and what I have seen by watching videos, is they think salvation is, I ask Jesus into my heart as Savior, I say the sinner's prayer, I'm born again, I'm in the family of God, I'm going to go to heaven forever. If I die, and if I'm here when Jesus returns, I get raptured. That every believer gets raptured when Jesus returns. Almost every single one of those statements is wrong. And the Salvation Made Plain website, step by step, lead you to the scriptures to show you what salvation is all about. Let's take one. That if you are born again, when you are born again, you're in the family of God, so when you die, you go to heaven. Is that true? It is true under the age of grace. But when the age of grace comes to an end, and if you take the mark of the beast and worship the beast, you will not go to heaven. You'll be cast into the lake of fire. So that's only true under the age of grace. And the age of grace is coming to an end in the not distant future. You want to know when? I refer you to the Book of Revelation Made Plain.org website. How about another one? What about somebody who dies during the age of grace? Scripture says to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. So they die, they're absent from the body, they're with the Lord. They're called the dead in Jesus. They will eventually be reunited with their bodies in about 1,000 years at the great white throne judgment. You say, but what about the rapture? Those are the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ are resurrected at the time of the rapture. But the dead in Jesus, different class, the dead in Jesus come back in 1,000 years. They're reunited with their bodies in 1,000 years. What happens to them thereafter? It depends on what they do in their bodies. You're judged for what you do in your body. You can learn more about that in graduate school semester 2, which is not available to the public. You get bits of it in Living and Not Dying series, Living and Not Dying MadePlain.org. That will cover part of it, but not much. Not much of the specific question. What am I saying? I'm saying, hey, we're not perfected yet. Hey, we need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. ABC has been blessed to have them all. I stand in the office of an apostle. I let my work, the fruit of my labor, the fruit of my ministry that God has given me, stand for it. All the websites I've mentioned. We currently are projecting another 20 public websites within the next year or so. 20 more websites. The time is short before Jesus returns. If you want to know when Jesus is returning, then go to YouTube And look up our YouTube teaching, the year of the return of Jesus. The year of the return of Jesus. It behooves us to understand where we are and how focused we should become. So, I want to give you some idea of what the church is like and where it's going. We have a thing called Welcome to ABC, which we've really ever given out. It's just a one-page flyer. It's not even printed up formally because, you know, in a sense, it's like advertising. We don't do that. I think I'm going to send it out to everybody so you can read and see some of the things that you may have missed in the years that you've been here. Welcome to ABC. Because you want to be welcome to the ABC of the ending days. ABC has always been changing. From our very inception, God has told us that we'd be changing. Starting slowly, like a balloon going up, and then changing into a rocket, speeding around the earth, dropping levels as it blasts off from one level to another. We certainly have lived up to that description. And we're in the process of changing again in many ways. One is, I'm making it clear for those of you who have not realized that everything we've been teaching here is apostolic. It's a calling, an end time apostolic calling to teach you how to be alive and remain. To tell you that all these wonderful men and women, many of whom I've learned, that we respect and love, that they're teaching that the rapture is pre-tribulation, will occur pre-tribulation, is incorrect. They're incorrect for probably two reasons, maybe more. One is they may not really be end-time ministers. We are and have always been an end-time ministry. We have known the return of Jesus, the year of the return of Jesus, since 1983. Also, they believed it as we all did, and probably never really dug into it themselves. They love God, they understand the scriptures, but they've never really dug into it to any depth to see what is wrong with this concept that every Christian who's alive is going to be raptured. What's wrong with it? Well, we got a website to teach you what's wrong with it. Okay? Understand, it's not a website that says, you know, here's 20 reasons why the rapture is pre-trib, or 120 reasons. And I've seen many websites like that. And they list all different scriptures, and they all say the same thing. God loves us and won't let us go through the challenges. Well, my word, God loved the nation of Israel. He loved the Hebrews. They were his chosen people. He loved Moses. And did they go through it? Absolutely. And the best reflection and foreshadowing of what is ahead of you in the future is what happened to Egypt when Moses delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptian. And we are being delivered out of the bondage of sin. We're being delivered out of the Egypt of sin. And you can't be delivered out of the Egypt of sin without going through the process. You want to be alive and remain and be raptured? Then, if you are still thinking it's pre-tribulation, the biggest, most important thing you can do for yourself and for all your loved ones and for your family and your friends is go to the website called rapturemadeplain.org and watch the videos. There are 6 or 7 videos. Watch them and take notes and study them and check them against the scriptures and see what's right, what all the great men and women are teaching about the rapture or what the Bible is teaching, which is reflected in the website. There are a lot of scriptures for you to check. I don't want you to believe me. I don't want you to believe any of my stuff. I want you to believe the Word of God. I don't want you to believe any other pastor or any other teacher. And they don't want you to believe them either. At least they shouldn't. You must believe the Word of God. And I'm telling you, the Word of God says that the rapture is post-trib. There's no question. This is not a theory. This is not, I think I know. This is, I know that I know that I know. I have zero doubts because it's that way from Genesis to Revelation. And it's entirely logical and entirely consistent. There is absolutely no question in my mind that the rapture will be post-trib. Absolutely none. And I've believed that now since 1983. Except in the early days, I only had two sets of scriptures to prove it. Now we got a whole website. So, I'm standing here as an apostle. And I'm telling you, the future is going to get increasingly worse. That's one of the reasons why God told us many years ago, we are becoming an internet church. And I thought, how in the world am I going to teach all these people that I love and tell them that we're becoming an internet church? And God says, I'll take care of it. And He did. We're now an internet church. Will we ever come back as a regular church? I do not think so. I do not think so. But whether or not we do, the primary focus will always be on the internet church. You see, in the Ukraine right now, it will be hard to see a church functioning in public. But you see all the internet stuff coming out of the Ukraine? They could be having church on the Ukraine. Ukraine people could be hearing me speak right now. They could, if they had the right connection. That's the way of the future. I read all the books in the Left Behind series. They're very enjoyable, very exciting, very well written. I watched all the movies they had, and I enjoy them. But I walked away with only one thing. First of all, only one thing. One thing positive. I walked away with what they said, that the day was coming when the preaching, the teaching, and the communication for the believer would be via the internet. I believe that. I believe it then. I still believe it. To me, that is the number one good thing in that series. Because the series heralded, trumpeted, that all believers are going to be raptured, regardless of where they are, regardless of what they're doing, and regardless of how much sin they're having in their lives, and regardless of whether or not they believe in a rapture. Do you know most Christians don't believe in a rapture? Most denominational churches do not believe in a rapture. And you think they can be raptured? My Bible says, as you believe, so shall you receive. So, I want to leave you with the fact that I am an apostle. Tonight's teaching is I am. I am an apostle who finally learned in the last 2 days, that I've lived my life in impatience. I'm trying to get all the sin out of my life. I'm trying with every fiber of my being, with all my prayer, to step aside and let the Holy Spirit take care of my life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the adult sons of God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God will be overcomers over every challenge of life. And the overcomers are those who becomes the ear of salvation. Revelation 21:7. He that overcomes shall be my son. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And he shall be my son, and I shall be his God. That's the fullness of redemption. That is available to you when you're alive and raptured. You get it right away. You don't have to wait another 1,000 years working it towards that point under the millennial reign of Jesus. You'll already have it. You don't have to wait after the great white throne judgment, as the dead in Jesus would have to do to try to achieve that. You will already have it. If you are alive and remain true to the gospel when Jesus returns, you will be caught up. One of the main things about remaining true to the gospel is do what the Bible says and don't do what it says don't do. Me, I found out in the last 2 days that I've been living my life in impatience. Now, I know impatience has been a great challenge for me. I know most of you don't have a problem with it. I say that tongue in cheek. Impatience shows up in how fast I talk. Impatience shows up in many ways, of which I'm aware. But the one I wasn't aware is that I've lived my life looking ahead. I've always been looking ahead. When I was in college, I was looking ahead until I could get out. Same thing with high school. Here, I've been looking ahead to when Jesus returns. I've always been looking ahead. And I admire my wife. We go exercise together. We do the first mile and a half together. We do 1 mile of walking with weights called heavy hands. And then we run the next half mile. But as I go out and watch her walk around, we're here to exercise. Oh my word, she's admiring a butterfly. You know? And what a beautiful rose. And, oh boy, if a neighbor comes by. I mean, it's a journey to go around. She's always living in the present. And me, I'm looking ahead until I finish this workout. And I can kick back and relax for a few minutes after my workout. I do a total of 6 miles. And for the entire 6 miles, I'm thinking, I can't hardly wait to finish this. And when she's, you know, admiring the clouds, I'm thinking, I want to get this done. Do you know what? She is living in the present. I'm living in the future. And I've taught so many times, you want to dwell in the now. Because if you look back to the past, the devil can get you with guilt and condemnation. You only look back to the past when things are challenging. And you look back to what God has done for you, and you say, wow, he's done it here and here and here, and he'll do it again. And you only look to the future to compare where you are to where God wants you to be, to keep you humble. If you look at what you've achieved, you can become complacent, lazy, prideful. The whole bunch of things can happen if you look at success. I have a lesson I want to teach called The Perils of Success. The Perils of Success. But when you look to the future and say, wow, that's where God wants me to be. Wow, here I am. It will keep you humble. You look to the future. God wants you to be alive and raptured. And you're thinking, that means I got to be washed by the water of the word. I got to quit sinning. And I guarantee you, there's no pride in you in that. But if you look back to where you used to be, and God brought you from then to here, then you see God got me saved. I couldn't save myself. God got me here. I didn't even want to be saved. Me, I didn't want to be saved. Some of you did. Some of you grew up in churches. And God has always been a part of your life. But just as you may be here and you say, how can I possibly give up some of these habits? You can't on your own. But you ask the Holy Spirit and He will help you. And among the many you want to watch is impatience. Notice the word impatience. What does it start with? I-M-P, imp. Start with imp. You don't want anything that comes from an imp, do you? I don't. No, get rid of the imp. Let's keep the patience part, or the patience. We give you back the P to go with the patience. No, don't hang on to anything that's impish. Get rid of it. That's one of the major sins that people don't really focus on. And the other one is busyness. I'm busy. Busy means, what does busy mean? It means you haven't got time for God. Why does it mean that? Because it's true. When I was busy, I didn't have time for God. Which is why some wise person says, busy means being under Satan's yoke. Believe me, it's absolutely true. The devil wants to keep you busy, so you're under Satan's yoke. All the clever ideas coming out of universities for running business. Over the last 40 years, are all designed to make things efficient and the workers more productive. Put it another way, make them all busier, put them further and further under the bondage of Satan. We don't want that. What you want to do is live in the now. Why? Because now faith is. Faith is always in the now. You can't live faith in the future. You must live your faith today. Faith is always now. But you can't please God without faith. You can't please God without faith. But you can only have faith in the now, which means you can only please God in the now. So you must have faith now. You must take time to smell the roses. You must take time to spend with God. Now, in the present, is where you please God. Now, in the present, is when you act on your faith. Now, in the present, is when you speak faith. Faith is now. Hebrews 11:1, King James. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, etc. Now. When you are in the now, you are in the present tense. The present tense is, I am. I'm not going to be an overcomer. I am an overcomer. I'm not going to be righteous. I am righteous. I'm not going to be holy. I am holy. I'm not going to quit sinning. I am quit sinning. That didn't quite work so well, but you get the point. And why should you live as I am? Because you are in the family of the great I am. He is the I am. And we are made in his image and likeness. You are made to be an I am person. An I am is. You are an I am is. God is the I am. He is, I am your Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. I am your Jehovah Rapha. I am your healer. And I am obedient to God. I am the healer of the Lord. I am the rich of the Lord. God is the I am, and you're the I am, and you live in the present. Stop to look at the butterflies. Live the present. And let God guide you into the future. Be led by the Spirit of God in the present to prepare for the future. But know that is in the present, living right now, is whether you're going to please God or not. Your future and your past are all made up of things that happen in the present. And faith must be in the present for you to please God. You want a life that's pleasing to God? Live in the present and give up the impatience of always focusing on the future. That's what I intend to do. I intend to break the power of impatience in my life by living now with God in faith. He is the great I am. I am a little I am. I am made in his image and likeness, and I am doing everything I can to let the Holy Spirit change me more and more to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name that you all do the same. Thank you very much. God bless you all.
I am. What about you? I like that thought of focusing on the present. It's not what we're going to be. It's what God has already made us and how he sees us through the blood of Jesus. He sees us as all these things Pastor Joshua was saying, that I am this, I am that. Whatever the word says about you, you are. So I am, right? We have the right to say that, and we need to focus our thinking on the fact that we already are what we're seeking to be, because God sees us that way. And we need to see ourselves as God sees us. No more of putting off, no more of stepping over what Jesus has done for us. We need to honor it and accept it and walk in it. And so, speaking of walking, let's walk to the communion table together now as we get our elements and take a moment to confess our sins so that we are in that holy place to partake of the Holy Sacrament. In Jesus' name. On that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He blessed it and he broke it and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Wow. Thank you, Lord. It's commands. Take it, eat it, partake of it, remember. Those are all commands done in his gentle, loving way. But he's not saying hold back or think about it. He's saying just do it. And what is it we're supposed to remember about the body of Jesus broken for us? Those 39 stripes that he took on his body for us, paying the price for every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, and every pain that would ever be known to man. For modern medicine has 39 categories. And Jesus paid the price for every single item in every single category. It's all paid for. It doesn't belong to us. I am the healed of the Lord. Jesus says, "I am Jehovah Rapha." And the two go together. For as he took all of the negative, he gives us the positive. As we receive of his broken body, we exchange it for our bodies being made whole and healed and restored and rejuvenated. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us so much that you were willing to suffer so greatly so that we would not have to suffer, but we can walk proudly with our heads held high and say, "I am the healed of the Lord. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, therefore I am the healed." Thank you, Lord. We receive now together of your broken body, thanking you for full manifestation of healing in all areas of our lives. For faith is now, so we receive now in Jesus' name. And in the same manner, after the supper, on that same night, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." The slate has been wiped clean. We are free from sin, free from the wages of sin. Oh, hallelujah. God is so good. Jesus has blessed us so richly. And all we have to do is receive. Receive of the cup of blessing. Receive of the life of God that is in Jesus, that floods into us. I pray that as we infuse this life of God into us, that it fills us up, it floods us, it saturates us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you for your life, for your promises, for everything you did for us that enable us to be able to become those overcomers. It's all there. You did it all, Jesus. All we have to do is receive. And we thank you. We thank you for loving us so much. And we thank you for this cup of blessing as we now partake together of this cup of blessing, and I like to call it also the cup of life. Let's receive now together in Jesus' name.